Hello and welcome to Espacito, the Espagenesis podcast. I am still John, still the games master. You haven't gone to sleep and woken up, I don't know, like 6 to 12 months later and things have moved on. Things are exactly as they were before. Don't worry about it. Where was I? Oh yeah, I was literally at the beginning. I'd not got past hello, it's me. Welcome back to Esposito. Thank you very much for continuing to listen to our ramblings and idiocy and drunken stupor. We really appreciate that. We still don't fully understand, but you guys are great. So cool. Thanks for that. Just a quick recap. So last time on Esposito, they somehow managed to prevent a diplomatic incident as Jimmo, the Matokai, was desperately trying to start one. And Rebook just about survived an assassination attempt from the woman that they were told repeatedly by her. She said several times, "I will kill you. I'm going to kill you." And they kept her on board. And so she tried to kill them. Like, it didn't go very well, but, you know, she tried and she did some damage. Just no one expected Rebook to sleep in a vent. Because why would you? Why, honestly? Never mind. That's about all I have to say. So, yeah, thanks very much for coming back. I hope you enjoy this next episode. Don't forget to like us on Twitter and Facebook and whatever. And leave us a rating or a review. Just a thumbs up is good. That'd be delightful. It would really make our day. My day. I don't tell the rest of the guys about what's going on. This is just my project. They don't even know we're a podcast. They do. That was a lie. But they're aware. Anyway, enjoy Esposito, the Espagenesis podcast, Dungeons and Dragons in Space! What are you doing? Are you gathering for breakfast or are you eating on your own or what?
I message over to Dumas and Hood and I say, "Breakfast on the Golden Rose."
Aye, I could eat.
Yeah, I'll head over. Saves me making it. Cool.
It's cooked by Jimmo.
Jimmo is an excellent cook.
That gives me a comeback. What's on the menu and has he killed anything recently?
Jimmo, mate, come over to them if you like. Tell them what's on the menu. I know you.
It's bacon, mostly just bacon. I'm an excellent cook if it comes to cooking bacon. Now, I will admit, the bacon is in the cold storage. It's been sat over some corpses all night, but didn't touch them as far as I know. I mean, I dropped a little bit in one of their mouths, but it's fine.
Adds to the flavour, makes the bacon more salty.
What's going on?
I'm making your bacon.
He's making long pork bacon.
Yeah, I didn't hear all that. What was that about, a cold storage?
Bacon was in cold storage.
Long tall Sally, what?
What? I'm so confused.
Look, do you want some bacon that's been near dead people or not?
Aye.
All right, you make your way over and you are served lots of bacon. There is literally nothing else being served.
It sounds dreamy.
Yeah, Jimmo, you get the impression, is not a good cook, other than he is really fond of bacon.
How is the bacon cooked?
It's crispy around the edges. Like, the fat has all gone crispy, but the inside is still quite tender.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It sounds like he's a great cook.
Yeah, he's a great cook at bacon.
Hud, after his about third helping of bacon, his chest starts to hurt, so in order to remove this, he lights up a cigarette.
As advised by your local GP. He may be wearing a plague mask, but his advice is sound.
He's punched your heart a few times.
Sure, his idea of curing epilepsy is hitting the person having a fit, but by God, does he get the results.
Or at least some spare teeth. That's not funny, that's dark.
I laughed.
That's the audience, John.
So you're enjoying your breakfast of bacon, and suddenly Todd appears at the door and says, we've got a message through from, I don't know, one of them, Dendu, that's on the station, saying They've got a meeting arranged for us, and would those in charge like to report for escort in about half an hour?
Escort? Bloody hell. Just tell us where it is and we'll get there.
I think it's here, on the base. And
what do we need a ruddy escort for?
God damn it, Todd.
I'm sorry, I'm just the messenger.
Yeah, of course you are.
You're doing well, Todd. Don't worry about it. Thank Very good. You. Messaging.
I appreciate that. Your friends are somewhat impolite, but...
God, he's so unsettling.
He's God, like... what are you talking about, mate? You're a pirate. We're all impolite.
I thought we had a pretty good set of codes.
His eyes are too close together.
Pleases and thank yous, but you know,
like
if you look at
guidelines, Todd.
If you
guidelines,
look, yes, they're guidelines. But if you look disconcertingly like Matt Damon, you're fine to shoot children. Those are the guidelines.
Matt Damon.
I mean, personally, Dora, I thought that pirates are supposed to be, you know, not whiny bitches. No offense, Todd.
None taken.
Todd, mate, take note. Take note.
Should I not be? Right. Do you want me to say anything back to them, or are you just going to go outside?
Aye. Tell them to tell us where the bloody meeting is. We don't need an escort. Find our own bloody way there. Don't need babysitting.
He nods and walks back. And then about 5 minutes later, he comes back and says, they said to say that they were quite clear about how you don't have free reign of the facilities, and so you wouldn't really be able to get in without them escorting you.
Well, they can meet us here then.
Seems to be the company line.
Hud piles some more bacon onto his plate and just turns to the guys and sort of giggles and says, "Just we're just really doubling down on this belligerence, aren't we, guys?"
No. It's not being bloody belligerent. I'm not at the bloody beck and call of some dendu fuck. If he wants to meet me, he can come over here.
Todd leaves and he's gone for another few minutes.
They want to speak to me, they can come here or they can tell me where to meet him. I'm not being babysat or
And he comes back and he says, so they've said that the escort will meet you outside the ship and take you to where you're going. They're not going to have a meeting with a senior politician in a hangar bay, but they also can't let you just wander through the base. Do you want to talk to them, or is this sort of toing and...
I mean, No. We want to talk to them. I just wanted to see how far this is going.
No, I meant, like, do you want to talk to them over the comms now? I am getting my steps in, but I feel like you'd convey your own messages quite well.
You need to when you're isolated on a ship like this.
Well, that is true. Wait, isolated?
Yes, we're not allowed to leave. We're at beck and call.
Oh, right, yes, I see. We're in sort of a lockdown situation, you might say.
Yes, you have maybe an hour of walking a day outside.
The guards get antsy if you get too close to them. And yet they jog so near you.
And they walk like six abreast down the road as well.
Goddamn assholes.
And clap on bridges.
They clap on bridges?
That's very specific.
What? Who's clapping on bridges?
You're not seeing this in London? For the clap every week, they gather on Westminster Bridge all together. Within like a feet of each other, and there's police, there's ambulances there.
God, it's so dumb. I reinforce, they shouldn't have said 2 meters, they should have said 6 feet, because no one here measures things in meters.
But it's so weird, this country. Like, what the fuck? Like, are we metric? Are we imperial? I feel like we get to an arbitrary, like, length, and then we go from, like, metric to imperial.
We're Brexit now, so we need to be imperial.
Ugh.
Anyway, what are you doing? What's happening?
Being belligerent?
I grab some pocket bacon and then I walk outside.
Love pocket bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Your pockets are going to be see-through by the end, mate. You have no idea how much Jimmo puts in that pan.
I just wink at Dora.
And Jimmo, on your way out, says to you, Dora, we're about half stock on bacon now.
Jimmy, you're going to be left here with Todd on the ship. Your mission today is to find more bacon.
Right. And he grabs his sword and sheathes it and says, Todd, once they're gone, bacon duty. And Todd sort of sighs wearily and nods.
And also, I bring them both together. I, like, put my arms around them. obviously massive yeah. shoulder of Jimmo and Todd, who's quite scrawny. And anything else you can get, mate, feel free to plunder. But be discreet.
And he says, right, so you want us to plunder this base?
No, no. Be discreet. You know what I mean. Don't get bloody caught. It's a pirate life.
Should I let Todd lead this one and I'll sort of be there too?
It's very modest of you, Jimmo. Very modest.
I've never been one to take the lead, not unless I absolutely have to. And in that case, it tends to be a bit of disemboweling.
Yeah, maybe Todd, just take the lead on this one and, you know, don't get killed.
Yep, sure, got it. Don't get killed, get some bacon.
And Darren, you're with me, mate.
Right, yes. Okay.
We had a good time, didn't we, Darren, back in the day? Good times.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you remember. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
What was your favourite moment of me and you?
The pirating, mostly.
Brilliant. My favourite too, mate.
I have suddenly become Ricky Gervais or Steve Carell, whichever one.
You're a fantastic pilot, Darren, and that's why I'm keeping you close to me, because I know you would have no hesitation in flying my ship away.
Yep, aside from the maglocks.
Exactly. But you have your ways, don't you, Darren? You have your ways. You always weed out of things, like the little worm that you are.
I'm not sure if this is friendly anymore.
Don't worry about it. And I just like kind of rub my hand down his face. Let's go.
Dora, the least charismatic character I've ever met. Yes, sure. So you make your way out and you are met by a group of 10 guards who eye you warily, and the captain, who you recognize, Hud, looks at you and says, Is the Matakai coming?
No, he's looking after the ship alongside one of my comrades.
He looks over to you, Naldor, and says, right, good. And you can see he visibly relaxed to his men, who also lower their pose a little bit. Like, they didn't have their weapons out, but tense. They've all relaxed a little bit.
Also, I'm more of a live wire than him, so I don't know why you've just relaxed.
Your reach is not as long.
I can use my mind to move things.
I have telekinetic powers. You're taken through a number of corridors. You take so many left and right turns, you feel it would take quite a lot of effort to remember the direction you've gone to make your way back to the ship with any ease. You descend several floors and you arrive at a seemingly inconspicuous door. Like all the other doors you've passed on your fairly long walk, it's been about 15 minutes. This door has no markings or features. How they know this is where you need to be taken is beyond your ability to comprehend, unless you fancy trying to comprehend it. But the captain turns and, again, seems to mostly be addressing Hud, says, this is where we've been asked to take you, and here is the door. And he reaches down and presses a button, the door slides open.
Do you think we don't know how doors work?
I honestly don't know how to interact with you people. You seem like a constant in a shifting sea of interacting with this group.
Fair enough, I say, and then I quietly reach out, grab his hand, and I put some bacon in it, and I close his hand on the bacon, and then I walk inside. Wild card, bitches! Woo!
The room you see ahead of you is large. It's sort of a round footprint. Basically, it's a conical-shaped room. The walls are purple.
Wait, when you say conical, is it like conical in a 3D sense or a 2D sense?
Or did he say comical, like it's just all over the place and it's hilarious?
It's wacky. It's a wild room.
It's no, zany.
It's cone-shaped, so it's a round footprint that sort of turns into a
3D cone. Gotcha.
Yeah, 3D cone.
You're right, that is comical.
That is comical as it is conical.
What's that about the Chronicles of Narnia?
Oh, hi-yo!
Slash Riddick.
Done. Thank you.
It's about a traffic cone falling into a wardrobe.
You've won Esposito. Fuck off and die. You can't quite tell what sort of material the walls are made of. There doesn't seem to be any seams or grooves or anything. But they are purple with these veins of deep blue that seem to shift as you try and look at them.
Deep, veiny blue.
I'm so tempted to just mute you.
A deep veiny cone.
I'm going deep inside, boys.
And it makes a helmet shape at the top of this season.
All right, you're in the council's dig room.
No, stop it. In the centre of the room is a small fire. The smoke seems to rise a few feet and then sort of vanishes. Around the fire there is a number of seats, all looking fairly comfortable. In the seat immediately opposite the door on the other side of the fire is a fairly graceful-looking Dendu with fluorescent white skin, deep purple tentacles that seem to be woven together in a sort of ponytail. This Dendu is wearing fairly comfortable-looking silken robes. They're sat holding a steaming cup with their legs folded. You can see just beyond them is another Dendu sat at a desk going over some files. And then further behind that Dendu, you see Hexorn, arms folded, leaning against the wall. And as you enter, the Dendu sat by the fire stands, placing the cup onto a small table to their left. They don't move anywhere. They just open their arms in a welcoming gesture and say, "Welcome! Welcome! Please come sit and join me."
Oh no, it's him again.
Can I interest you in any refreshment? My name is Nisaka Balian. I understand you are here on Zamaron business. This is most interesting. And must I say, you are a fascinating group of individuals to be such a claim. Please, come in, sit.
Beverages, yes.
Yes, of course. What can I get for you?
All of the booze, please. For me and my friend Darren here.
Dora, we've just had breakfast.
Yes, and I'd like to wash down my cornflakes with some hot stuff. Come on,
we didn't even have cornflakes. Ask for cornflakes.
Oh, yes. Do you have any more bacon?
I suppose we could fetch you some.
How about bacon chopped up and put in a cereal bowl? Bacon flakes.
Yes. She looks over at the captain in the doorway behind you, who's just holding his arms up, like absolutely resigned, baffled, exhausted. Captain, can we make some bacon flakes? And I suppose some brandy.
And how about you put a bit of bacon on that black eye that Hud gave you as well, mate?
That was a different Dendu. You're being super inappropriate right now.
Do it seriously.
Yeah. Hexorn sort of coughs at the back of the room and says, that was me. I was the Dendu with the black eye.
Now, what I meant was that Hud hit you so hard that he kind of hit everybody.
No, stop talking. Stop it. Just shh.
And Masika just looks back at Hexorn and looks at you and looks at the guard and says, I have no idea what's going on.
You and me both, brother. So this is Admiral Dimas Korriban. He is from the dwarf home planet, whose name I can't remember right now.
Aldo.
Yeah, he's probably the guy you want to talk to. So Dumas, take it away.
Go on then, what do you need? Why are we prisoner here?
Oh, I apologise. There must be some misunderstanding. Looks back.
No, don't start with the, oh, you're not a prisoner malarkey. Our ships are on maglocks and we're not allowed to leave. That sounds like prisons to me.
Well, you must understand. Admiral, is it?
Rear Admiral.
Yes.
But the salutation Admiral is acceptable.
Yes. Admiral, I am a senator of the Dendu people. You of all people must understand, the last time the Dendu and the dwarves had any interaction, involved sort of a planetary war. So in some respect, your ship arriving here is alarming. However, the circumstances that led to that planetary war are somewhat shrouded. We have had no real knowledge of it. So I am willing to waive this. Obviously, the captain, please release the maglocks upon the ships. Thank you. And the captain looks over at Hexorn, and Hexorn just wearily nods.
Decent start. Obliged. Now, what do you...
Well, I fear any species or political power capable of reacting to recent Zamaron incursion is somewhat paralyzed by current events. And so I, and my government, believe such a clandestine company as yourselves are likely to be the only ones capable of intervening in any meaningful way. However, I suppose the question is, before we begin sharing knowledge and secrets, as it were, what do you plan on doing, and for what purpose? And I suppose the more pressing matter is, why have you come to Dendisar?
Well, I'm not fully at liberty to divulge the details, but looking for information on the Zamaron.
For what purpose?
I guess you could say retribution.
He nods a little and looks down, and you can see he's calculating some things. Retribution for the invasion of Winenda?
No, it was because they borrowed a library book and never brought him back. What do you think?
Well, Winenda is not the only planet to have been attacked.
I'm not claiming a monopoly on this.
No, no.
Stick a boot in before it's too late.
This is something of a precursor to what I am to say. I apologize if that was not clear. Unenda is not the only planet to have been attacked. There are countless planets across the Silrain Arc that have all been occupied by these insectoids.
So, yeah.
The Dendisar have been left relatively untouched. We believe there is still a fear of our retribution having been the first the Zamaron knowingly attacked. We have, however, been monitoring the behavior of the Zamaron within these invasions, and it is unlike any previous incursion. Usually they will attack one planet, use its resources to build new ships and multiply, and then they will remain there until they are pushed back. However, in this instance, they have attacked numerous planets rather than just one, and they seem to be, whilst building new ships, preparing a second wave of invasions. The construction of forces is ramping up. The impact on the Ark is one of utter chaos. No one system is able to defend itself. The tactics here are cleverer than Zamaron would usually employ. Therefore, one can only assume a significant change in leadership, or whatever it is they use. Now, whilst I understand your desire for retribution, one must consider the best steps in enacting such retribution.
What you're suggesting?
Well, it is laughable to consider taking on the entire fleet at once. It seems that, as well as being very well spread out and very well armed, they outnumber the Silurian Defense Forces significantly.
Go on.
From our understanding of the Zamaron, in their hive tactics, each ship is controlled by a senior figure, a sovereign, aboard that ship. The sovereign seems to be the only one capable of independent thought. However, that sovereign is still linked into some form of hive. We believe there is a singular controlling group or individual on Zamaron homeworld.
You're saying every Zamaron ultimately telepathically links in to one brain bug.
Now, we believe this to be the case.
Frankly, sir, I find that offensive.
We believe that there is some sort of controlling figure within Zamaron society that is responsible for all of their actions, and to eliminate such a figure would descend all Zamaron forces into something of disarray, which would, of course, leave an opening for Silurian defense forces to push back the invasion.
I think I see what you're getting at here. You want me and my boys to go in, dispatch of this brain bug or whatever, and then in the confusion, the main forces swoop in and repel the invasions.
That is more or less the proposition I hope to be bringing to you. Now, again, as with everything, there are additional caveats. We don't know precisely where this will be.
What support does this have from the rest of your Silurian defense?
Well, we have unfortunately been unable to communicate with the rest of the Ark, with the Prime systems. You see, the disarray is, I imagine, further than you could imagine.
What do you think, lads? And Dora? And to be honest, Rebook, I don't even know what you are.
This is fair.
I don't know if you covered this already. I'm pretty off my tits. You are relatively unharmed by the Zamaron.
Yes.
Why?
That we are unsure of. Our advisors have been trying to figure out what exactly the cause would be. As yet, the only particular reasons we can conjure are that they have already invaded our planet and therefore natural resources are already depleted, which would mean using our planet to build a ship would be fairly futile, or that they fear that we have carried out further research into their technology and behaviors, and as such feel that we might be something of a risky target at present.
Have you?
Somewhat, not potentially as useful as they may fear, but...
Back for an inside check on that.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm not very good at this. But I did get a 20, non-natural.
They definitely know more than they would say, knowing that... Yes, a little bit they're lying.
So, I have two questions. One... Considering that the Zamaron, and again, I don't pretend to know much about your history, but I know what I was told, you know, kind of knocking around the Ark, but the Zamaron nearly wiped out your people, they crippled your empire, and you fought them back to the brink to get your homeworld back. Why wouldn't you have found out where their homeworld is? That's my first question. My second question is, the last time they attacked, did they make use of your own people through some sort of infection or mind control? That's what we saw on Unenda.
Yes. Both excellent questions. I applaud the mind that asks them.
I want to blam out of his ass a little bit. I whispered to Darren.
Darren chuckles a little bit. Masika looks over at Darren as he chuckles. Frowns a little bit and then turns back to you, Had, and says, regarding
the...
What
their tentacles would feel like, sorry.
We've already discussed this porn. Stop it.
is this what this entire campaign's leading to? Just an awful fucking Farscape / fic?
I would not be surprised.
I'm very disappointed.
He says, well, regarding the why haven't we located their homeworld, having pushed them out of our system, we were in somewhat of a state of disarray, and they vanished through a rift. I'm sure you understand that a rift is not something we would choose to follow through.
All right, but in the intervening years, drones, scouting parties, wayfarers, researchers, anything?
Based on the nature of rifts, they do not remain stable and in place for long. By the way, you do... I'm just gonna throw in some background here. Rifts are spatial anomalies. They're kind of like wormholes in that they will open and create a gateway to another sector of space.
Another dimension. Sorry.
But where they appear and where they end up is kind of the role of a dice. Not specifically the role, like it's not a mechanic, just so you know.
Mm.
But they are fairly randomized. They don't last for long.
Right. So it was just luck that the Zamaron were able to escape then? Or were they,
say they don't last for long, that's kind of on a galactic scale.
So no, what I'm asking is, were the Zamaron able to create this rift, or did they just make use of one that occurred naturally?
So this is going to go back into the conversation. The Zamaron used the same rift to leave that they used to invade through. It swiftly closed up, but it was the same rift. It remained for, I would say, 80 years, maybe longer.
Okay. So what about the kind of mind control, the infections?
That was something that was noted. There were those who were infected and essentially became thralls of the Zamaron forces.
We saw a lot of that.
This was partially used in their invasion tactics. They used figures that they had enthralled to manipulate defenses, to lower guards, which enabled their attack to be somewhat more successful than you would otherwise expect.
That explains how they were able to lower the defenses on the dwarf planet then.
It does seem like that's the possibility.
Right, so in terms of striking at the Zamaron homeworld, we've got no idea where it is. We've got no idea if it's one or a group of leaders that we need to take out. We don't know what they want. We don't know what their overall goals are. We don't know where they're coming from. We don't know how they're employing their attacks. How do you expect us to do this for you?
Certainty of death. Small chance of success.
What are we waiting for?
So we have been doing calculations based on their ability to create ships. And we do believe that whatever source they are coming from would likely be diminished in its defense. It would be very difficult to mount an invasion of this scale and still have significant defensive capabilities. We also believe that records aboard a fighter or station or hive ship of theirs would be capable of navigating towards the homeworld. That said, we have tracked some of the rifts through which these ships have appeared and believe that, as far as our understanding of rifts goes, it would be possible to, with a skilled pilot, navigate one of those rifts and find the homeworld. Again, possibly an easier task to accomplish with some record of where it might be over from another ship that has traveled said rift. But beyond that, I realize this is quite a large ask. This is a hope and a prayer, as it were. This is reliant incredibly on luck and on your own capabilities. I am unaware entirely of your capabilities, but your luck seems to have lasted you so far.
Our abilities are adequate. Don't worry about that.
Excuse me if this is offensive, and it probably will be, because I deal with that.
I am genuinely intrigued as to how bad this is going to be, if you can preempt that.
And you see Hexon leans up off the wall and inclines his head a little bit.
Gosh, that really is purple. That you need some ice on that, mate. How do we know that you're not in the employ of the Zamarons? Because, look, they've not attacked you, and this could be just one elaborate yarn that you've spun, and you're sending us to our deaths. I mean, you could kill us here. I get that. I do get that. But
again, that is an excellent question. And I suppose I have very little way of answering it. There is little to evidence beyond the physical changes that one undergoes when enthralled by the Zamaron. There is little to evidence anything that could suggest that we are not in their employ. However, what would the purpose of this conversation be? Beyond killing you, which, as you have rightly pointed out, we could have done fairly easily at almost any point.
I think you know where we've come from, given the fact that the dwarf is here, and perhaps we could... And that was a failure for them in terms of a military... I suppose they took the planet, but they didn't take the people.
Well, that does raise an interesting question about their intention, which seems to be more the land than the annihilation, which is an interesting point to raise. I don't follow your point entirely. I suppose I am asking you to trust me on faith. I will allow you to examine my physique somewhat closer, not too much closer. I am something of a germaphobe, but you may observe my features.
No, that's fine. What speaks louder than features and whatever you're saying, and faith, is maybe a little bit of investment.
I agree. In terms of payment, what we want, and I sidle in front of Dora at this point and I say...
He frowns when you say what you want.
What we want is for the dwarves to be accepted into the Silverain Arc. We want them to have support in rebuilding their society and aid.
Dumas grimaces slightly at the first mention of that. It's kind of news to him, but he's listening.
Well, that's what the what's her name? I've wrote this down. Jepta Fataxel. Wait, no, that's the one who hates off-worlders.
Yeah.
Comel Shalglot. Shalejolt.
Is that what you've got?
Yeah, Comel Shalejolt.
You did make an incredibly hard name to pronounce, Josh.
I did. I will admit that. Hang on.
Call of the ambassador, mate.
Yeah. The ambassador wanted us to make links.
Chancellor.
Yeah, the chancellor wanted us to make links so that we could basically get the dwarf society sort of amalgamated into the Ark, didn't they?
Nah, Charles did always like to build bridges.
So, that's what we want. We want them to have full support from you, if no one else, if everyone else is under attack from the Zamaron. I realise that there might be tensions, but I think we have to all agree that the current situation has proved that we are all united against a larger enemy.
And we also all need to agree that Tom's X-Men 3 reference there went massively under the radar.
what was the reference? I missed it.
Thanks, Tom.
What was it?
Charles did like to build bridges. Says Magneto as he moves the San Francisco Bridge over to Alcatraz.
That's such a niche reference.
Did you say it in your Ian McKellen voice? Was it said by Ian McKellen?
I think you said it in Dumas's voice.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
Ah, I am.
Oh, that's good. Thanks for pointing that out, Tom.
Beautiful.
Right. So to that, the senator looks down and says, "Well, that is quite an ask. Obviously, I am simply a senator. I cannot guarantee. However, I am aware of our government's attitude towards the Unenda events. Our lack of understanding means that we cannot guarantee that the dwarves are the ones to break the agreement, which means the agreement is not... well, in that...
You're pausing as if you want me to rephrase it, but I kind of think that your what sums up me intentions pretty bloody obviously.
Well, from our understanding of events, a conflict broke out. We had no awareness of our citizens initiating it, but we also have no confirmation that your civilization committed the first assault. Therefore, we consider the agreement still in place and as such would be willing to commit our forces to support any defense of Unenda or attempt to retake Unenda.
In Dumas's opinion, what started the war?
The Dendu.
But specifically, like, does he know what kicked it off, or does he think he knows, or?
No, from your understanding of history, the war started fairly unprompted. The dwarves were fairly taken off guard. Dwarven society teaches that the assault was started by the Dendu and was retaliated, like the dwarves retaliated in a fairly effective manner, which is what slowed the planet's rotation and annihilated half the planet. However, it was deemed necessary based on the threat. But actually, the specific events aren't clear. It was just Dendu were aggressors, the dwarves reacted.
Right, okay.
So we are willing to offer our forces in support of Dwarven forces in retaking Unenda once such an action is possible. And of course, if the political elite of the Dwarven people would request our support in joining the Ark, we would obviously throw our support behind them.
I'll stop you there in that whilst we as a planet are very much on board with becoming part of the Sylvain Arc, and we value that we do need help in these times, as a lot of people do, it'll be, and I'm not just speaking for myself here, I can guarantee you this will be a popular opinion, it'll be a cold bloody day in hell when the Dwarven government allows a Dendu army to set foot back on Unenda.
He's kind of overwhelmed at that. He doesn't quite know what to say. From his opinion, he was offering support.
I'm sure. Whatever your intentions are.
I'd also like to know why, at this stage, you would be willing to be involved in Unenda when you were quite happy to let an entire colony die out.
At this point, the senator locks eyes with you and... To be honest with you, we did not think anyone survived, and we felt approaching the Dwarven homeworld to learn more, recover anything, was not really resource-wise.
You were quite happy to... You write off our colony or people as acceptable losses?
How convenient for you, Senator.
It's not so much acceptable losses as it is. They were lost. There was no communications. There was no evidence of what happened. We were unsure entirely what happened. For all we knew, the entire planet had been wiped out. So we chose not to... We chose not to provoke a people we had no reason to provoke.
You chose not to help. I believe Dumas is right that support from somewhere else on the planet would be acceptable. Somewhere else in the Sylvain Arc.
I'm saddened that you feel that way. I will say that support is unlikely to be forthcoming given the current state of the Arc, but
speaking of that, what's the state of Earth? Has the Infinity Corps not been able to mount a defense? You know, at least try and push back the Zamorin.
Earth, so a seeming phenomena occurred in that rifts opened near homeworlds of most civilizations. Earth is one of those. Earth is currently an occupied territory.
Do you know any more?
Unfortunately not. The...
Sorry, the temptation just be, would you like to know more?
Unfortunately not. Earth is occupied. The entire system has been evacuated. The Infinity Corps obviously is a fairly large institution and is not crippled, but is significantly weakened by the loss of its high command.
Is there like a secondary staging point? Do you know where they've, where, you know, the remnants of their leadership is set up?
Most groups have relocated to the Galactic Core, which also seems to be fairly untouched. The Galactic Core, obviously being the center of the Serenarch government and of the station, the Bastion. Most civilizations have relocated to the Galactic Core in terms of governance, in terms of military powers. So I believe the Infinity Corps leadership would be there.
Okay. Well, I turn to Dumas and I say, well, if you want to accept support from these guys, which, you know, fair enough, I get it, we can at least head into the Galactic Corps and speak to, see if we can find out about the Infinity Corps.
I think that's fair. But to be honest, it don't matter what I say. I can guarantee you that the people of Unenda will react to Dendu's approaching as another invasion.
I'm not talking about Dendu, I'm talking about human beings.
I get that. So, could be worth looking into. I'm happy to accept any help off you and your kin.
Well, let's see if they'll accept what we've got to offer first. And Hud lights a cigarette. So... you mentioned something about finding the coordinates to the homeworld on a Zamron ship.
Yes. Well, we believe Navicomputers located on a Zamron ship that has traversed such a rift could aid in traversing said rift in the opposite direction. As I said, it's still possible to navigate a rift without such a path, but it would be considerably easier.
From what you guys know about the Zamron, those big asteroid ships, are they the ones that are capable of making a jump through a rift like that?
Yes, well, they are the largest ships to have appeared within the system, therefore must be the ships that made the actual journey. I will remind you that their technology is hive-based. Obtaining readings from an asteroid ship, hive ship, may be difficult, but you could potentially access readings through a fighter.
Why do I get the impression that, excuse me to interrupt, that you have a fighter?
Well, we do have relics from the previous invasion, however, those would not be linked in with current hive ships.
I don't think you're telling the truth. I get the impression you're holding some technology back, and why would you do that if it's not to...
Roll a persuasion check.
Oh.
22.
Okay. We are not holding anything back. Really, I suppose, the person you should be speaking to right now is my colleague, the good doctor. At this point, you can see the dendu that sat out at the desk looks up and says, ah, yes. Hello.
Bloody hell, where did he come from?
I was sat here all along. I wasn't hiding.
Popped out of nowhere and he sounds like Richard Ayoade, that fantastic comic actor from...
He does sound like Richard Ayoade.
He does sound like Richard Ayoade.
I didn't pop out of nowhere. I was here all the time.
Richard, tell us what you know.
Ah, yes. All right. Well, with the Senator's permission, of course... we don't have a fighter that would give you access to navigational readings. We do have a fighter that will give you access to suggestions of where other fighters and hive ships might be. We can also tell you that Zamarion, as they are fairly resistant to standard types of damage, but are not resistant to Esper enhanced attacks. If you will, I'm not really sure why I was brought in for this conversation. All this could be easily relayed by the senator. But if you would like, I could share with you the readings of where current ship placements might be that you could use for whatever it is that you happen to be wanting to do with it.
Sure, Richie.
My name's not Richard, but I quite like it as a monster. I will take it.
Attaboy, Richie. Tell us what you know.
All right. And he swipes his hand over the table, and on your hand displays, you see maps come up with ships in different systems that will help you to identify and locate ships that you could use to steal nav data. And as well, he says, and these are the locations of the various rifts we have located. Now, we have only located three of them. The rest of them, as rifts tend to be fairly unstable, are quite hard to find, as it were. But here they are. And three appear. There's one fairly close to Unenda. There's one fairly close to Earth. And there is a third that is close to the Eldorai homeworld. That, as I said, I'm not quite sure why I was brought in for this conversation. I'm mostly here for presenting data, and I feel like this data could have been presented by a senator rather than a scientist. I have much more important work to be doing, but if you would like, I could sing you a song, maybe. I'm not sure.
Nope, we appreciate it, Richie. Safe pair of hands.
From historical context, any time a politician starts talking about scientifically, it's confusing and it sounds like they're talking out of their ass. So it's nice to have your perspective.
Not a problem. I mean, I'm not really bringing a perspective in so much facts. I prefer not to suggest motive or anything like that. I'm just, these are the things that we can categorically say. I hope you enjoy them.
Before you go, Richie, what would be really useful is actually having you on this expedition.
Oh, no, that's not for me. No.
That's some sort of travel dendu.
I'd rather not. if I were to have a choice in the matter, I'd rather not. I'm not really the sort of go about and camp in the far distant reaches of space. I'm more of the sort of...
A gadget dendu.
I'll sit in a plush sort of living room and look at some figures and send them out to people every now. Even this room with its lovely purple walls and the blue veins you can see, this is a little bit low grade for me. I'd rather I were in a room made entirely of marble or something. This is very crass as far as I'm concerned. The fire in the middle with the portal above it to take the smoke out is entirely unnecessary.
Funnily enough, I do actually have a room made out of marble on my ship.
I hardly doubt that is true.
Well, you have to check it to see, but listen, what about this universe? We need you. Richie, I need an engineer, a doctor, whatever the fuck you are, on my ship.
It's likely to be that you'll die. No offense. I don't mean any offense. I don't mean any at all.
Well, if we die, to me, you'll die.
And if you die and I die, at least I'll die comfortably rather than in your horrible ship on the far side of the universe.
I'm still reeling from the recruitment pitch of I need an engineer or a doctor or fucking something. Oh, they should put that on army posters.
We need someone.
Have you got a skill or no skill?
Fucking someone.
So that's a no.
It's a very hard no. And it's a no from you. No, it's a very hard from no from me.
Was he Bruce Forsyth? What was that?
No second.
Is it nice to see him?
Sorry, sometimes I get possessed by an ancient hero known as Brucey. He doesn't appear for long, but sometimes he'll possess me. And I get taken away with it, and it's a lot of fun.
What a glorious form of schizophrenia.
So, this guy's coming on our voyage.
I mean, roll a persuasion check, and we'll see what we can do.
Who?
Anyone.
Oh, I'll roll. With advantage, or...?
No, not at all.
A solid 15.
No, I'd still rather not. If I'm being perfectly honest with you, I'd still prefer not to do that at all. It's more or less my worst nightmare, is to be on the other side of the universe, surrounded by Zamaron, praying for death.
I understand, don't worry. I'll see you on the ship. And I wink at him.
You're not winking at me. It seems like you think that I'm actually coming with you, or that you might kidnap me, and I'd rather you didn't.
And when I see you on the ship, do you know what I'll do? I'll say, it's nice to see you, to see ya.
I'm not quite sure what you're getting. Nice! Oh, no, that came out of nowhere. Sorry, that's Brucey. Brucey's coming back out. I'll, you know, it's really not wise for me to be away from the hospital for too long. So, no, I'd rather not come with you. Honestly, didn't know what voice the doctor was going to have at this point, and I'm really glad that this is...
I'm really glad he's coming with us on this galactic event.
I'm really glad I'm not.
So, is that all we need from the Dendu gang?
Well, there's one more bit of information for you, which is watch out for the more senior of the Zamaron. They tend to have Esper-related powers. Now, how they have them exactly is hard to tell. But whilst also being aware of semi-independent thought, they can manipulate Esper powers in order to do you some damage or whatnot.
Okay. Oh, one last thing, Richie. Do they have a language, like a spoken or written language?
No, no need for a language when you're connected by a hive mind.
Right.
They don't necessarily talk to each other as exchange ideas. It's somewhat of a hippie notion, and one I'm not behind at all.
Can you tell us more about how we identify people who are enthralled?
Oh, well, they tend to have some chitin platings sort of appearing on their skin. Their eyes change colour. They're not so good at talking, although some of them can talk. I don't want to dissuade you. They can, when enthralled, be fairly unchanged. It's actually, to be honest, quite hard to tell. The ones that are enthralled for simply soldiering purposes are fairly obvious. They tend to change physically. The ones enthralled for sort of subterfuge and subtle invasion, they tend to be a little bit harder to spot.
And there's no easy way of identifying or test we can do. Perhaps take a sample of their blood and put a fire in it.
They tend to sort of, their eyes change a little bit, but I suppose you'd have to have a familiarization in the first place to be able to tell if there were a change.
Could you help us familiarize with them?
With everyone's eyes ever? No.
Well, just so we can have a test. What's...
Essentially, what it is their pupils take on a slight greenish hue. It's quite hard to spot, but essentially that's what happens.
Thank you, Richie.
Not a problem. I hope to spend many hours conversing with you later when you're not dead, after having gone on your suicide mission.
Yes, we can do this on the ship.
No, no. No, I won't be there on the ship. No, no.
You're so coy.
You're a little bit overbearing, if I'm honest, and it's a little bit off-putting.
Rawr.
You're coming off as too needy. I'm not a fan. No, thank you. No. Before you say it, no, thank you.
You're protesting a little bit too much now, so I do actually think you're going to join us on the ship. Before, I was just joking and winding you up, but now I'm actually excited because you're going to be there.
I will not. I 100% will not be on the ship with you. I can guarantee you that. As long as I've got free will in the matter, I won't be on the ship with you.
How about you say it another 5 times and I'll believe you?
I won't.
No, dude.
Are we done now? And Hexhorn leans forward and says, yes, I believe we're done now. Please stop harassing the doctor. The senator is a busy man. Your ships have been released. You are free to go. Please go. 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 Leave. Please.
Any provisions you can give us for the, because we came all the way here.
Yes, I suppose. He looks over at the senator. The senator nods. He says, yes. We will ensure both ships are repaired fully. We can restock your ship weapons. We can ensure that you are fully powered. We can ensure that you are fully stocked with food. Please go. Go.
Is there some kind of, I don't know. And I lean into him, senator, and say, I don't entirely agree with the dwarf about you not being recognized back in Unenda. Is there some kind of diplomatic message that you can give me that I can share, showing your willingness to reconcile?
The senator says, ah, yes, well, actually, I suppose if you could pass on a message for me, it would be, we apologize deeply for any hurts that have been inflicted on either side in the past. We hold no one responsible. We simply wish to resume good-natured diplomacy as soon as possible.
Is that a recording that you'd like to timestamp and give your seal?
If you would like, I could record that and hand it to you as a recording to pass on in whatever way you choose to the dwarven people, if you would like. Yeah, I can do that, yes.
It's probably a very good idea.
It is you are a skilled diplomat, my lady.
I put my hand over his face.
Please don't touch me. It's very inappropriate.
I heard you're a germaphobe. Well, I'm very unclean.
I can tell. You smell quite badly. Very unpleasant. Please.
First lesson of diplomacy, you know, share the germs.
Just a second. He steps away and sort of turns around. You can hear him saying the same thing that he's just said to you, and then he pulls a chip out of his arm and he hands it to you. But he sort of does it very gingerly and sort of, hold out your hand, please. Please hold out your hand.
I take it with my mouth.
Oh my, that was most unpleasant. I would rather I never see you again. And holds out his hands, and Hexon sort of runs forward and squeezes some alcohol gel into his hands and he rubs them. Ah, delightful. You have been a pleasure to interact with. Thank you.
Stay safe. And then I just cough.
And that's quite enough. Thank you very much for turning it up. And he turns to Ebook quickly and says, we apologize profusely for abandoning you and any kin you may have had. Once you return, please be aware you will be welcomed with open arms in Dendu society as something of a hero, and we will provide you with a pension, with a salary, with whatever you would like, please.
Rebic turns away.
Right. Well, a few words I see. Very good. Goodbye. I'll see you later from your mission, your suicide. You're all going to die. It's going to be a horror. And you see the senator turn and look at the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, I said too much. Not in a sinister way. No, I'm not suggesting that it's... No, it's just that he seems to be fairly upset with the way that I'm going on in this way. Like, it sounds like I'm trying to... I'm not. Enjoy your mission. You'll all die horribly. It's just the odds. I'm a scientist at heart. I can't help it.
I'm going to stand at the door while everyone leaves, and just once everyone's filed out, I'm just going to flip them all the bird. And then leave.
Is it like dripping with bacon grease as well?
Yeah. Well, no. That I don't flip them off. I reach deep into my pocket, pull out the last handful of bacon I have, and I throw it into the air like confetti, and then I leave.
Most delightful. Most unpleasant. As you kind of leave, you can see the captain of the guard is just chewing on this bit of bacon that you handed to him. All right, you're ready to head back now. You happy? Good? You happy?
Yeah, we were told we were going to get provisions and stuff before we leave.
Right, I'm sure that's being sorted by someone else. I am a captain of the guard, not a quartermaster, as it were. Not that I disparage the quartermaster profession, it's just that that's not my job.
Just just take us back to the ships.
Right, you are. Off we go.
You also really need to sort that black eye out, mate.
That's not me. Again, this is like the third time you've...
Jesus, Dora, come on, man.
Really awkward. It's very unprofessional of you.
Not really, mate. I mean, Hurt, he packs a punch.
Yeah, but you can't punch a Dendu so hard that all Dendu get a...
I think you're wrong.
I don't think I am. That's an insane proposition.
When you look in the mirror tonight, you'll know.
Okay, just to clarify, Captain of the Guard, I punched that guy because I didn't like him as a person, not because of what my friend is implying.
That's fine. I think your friend's a little unhinged. It's fine.
I mean, friend is a strong word. Work acquaintance.
I genuinely believe that to be true.
Thanks, Hurt. Thanks. Yeah. We are lovers.
I could do so, so much better.
You are led back to your ship. And as you arrive, you can see there are crates being loaded onto both ships full of food. And you can see Jimbo is stood looking very triumphant. And as you approach Dora, he says, "And we went out. We went out, didn't we, Todd? Todd, we went out, didn't we, Todd?" Todd's like, "Yeah, we went out." And then we met these guys, and they said they were bacon and what other goods wanted. Actually, they said they were loading us up with goods. What did we want? And I said, "Bacon. They're loading us up. We're going to be good. A-okay. 100%. I did it all myself, boss. Didn't I, Todd? Didn't I do it? It was very subtle. We were very subtle." Todd's like, "Yep. Yep.
God, shut up, Todd.
Has Todd killed any children yet?"
And Jimmo looks at Todd and says, "Jimmo. Todd, sorry. No, that's my name. Why did I shout my name? That was weird. Todd, killed any children yet?" "No."
"Good."
"Oh, Todd, you are really a psychopath, aren't you?"
I don't know. This is the guy that keeps threatening to kill people. Just, I didn't threaten to kill anyone. He threatened to stuff someone's genitals into their face. Come on, that's threatening to kill them. Not specifically.
Look, he's a gentle giant. He's got a hard exterior and a real soft gelatin heart. That could give out at any moment. Or two hearts. I don't know how many.
I need a lot of bacon. It's very true. My heart could give out at any minute.
That's true. Well done on the bacon. And I know, whisper to them both. Did you get anything else?"
"Some rum."
"Yes! Bloody hell, well done. That's all I wanted. did you store it in my chair?"
We actually, Jimmo tried, and then we had to put the chair back onto the deck. Jimmo's not good at looking for secret compartments. I couldn't find any, so we've just left it sort of out in your quarters and figured that you could put it in yourself because we can't."
"And you'll never, never know." And she taps her nose. "Unless I want you to know. And then, even then, you won't." Boop. And she gets on the ship.
All right. And a short while later, you hear a sort of clanging on the door into the HMS Dendu ship.
From the inside?
No, from the outside.
Oh. I open the door.
And you see the doctor stood there, who I have yet to name.
Richie!
Oh yeah, Richie, that's right. Hello. I didn't want to come, but it turns out I was ordered by the senator that it was probably a good idea because it would improve your chances of survival.
I don't even let him finish. I grab him by the scruff of the neck and I pull him into the ship.
All right, here we go then. Okay, look.
Richie, you made a great choice. Welcome to the HMS Dendu ship. Let me show you to your quarters. It's going to be great.
I regret my life choices entirely already.
Wasn't a choice. You were ordered. Welcome to the ship.
I've made a terrible mistake in everything I've done. Although I do feel like I made a wise choice in choosing this ship to knock on the door of rather than the Golden Rose, which I imagine is where your bizarre Eldora friend is.
Absolutely bizarre, absolutely correct. I knock on Dumas's door.
Come in.
Dumas, check out who we got. Richie, you got a spare gun?
Oh, it's the scientist-like. What you doing?
That's my name. I'm the scientist-like. No, my name is Richie, I suppose, is as good as I'm going to get on this ship.
Well, you categorically denied that your name was Richie not an hour ago, but go on.
I did deny that my name was Richie, and Richie is not, in fact, my name. It's not a popular Dendu name, as it were. But I
don't
feel
need
like
your last story, Richie. What are you doing here?
I've been sent here. I've been asked to join you because it's tentative the Dendu believe that your chances of survival and success would be vastly improved with the help of a scientist who is somewhat of an expert on the Dendu. Not on the Dendu, on the Zamaron. I'm sorry, I'm very confused. This is against my wishes entirely. I wish I was not here. No offence.
Well, I think we needed a pot washing, Gally.
That's not really what I'm qualified for. I'm not very good at washing.
Sure, you've sterilised plenty of lab equipment. Off you go. I'm in charge here. Go on.
I didn't bring any steriliser with me, but I suppose if that's my job, then I'm very sorry that I'm here at all.
Hold up, Richie. Dumas, you got a spare pistol or something?
No. Sold them.
Crap. Well, you need to be packing something.
It's fine. I'm not really much of a fighter.
No. You're part of the team.
I'd rather not, please. If it's all the same to you, I'd rather that...
I'm going to give him my collapsible baton.
Make a good rolling pin that in the galley.
That's not really... I'm not much of a cook either.
That's okay. Well, I'll find you something to do, Richie. See you later, Dumas. And I'm going to sort of like just lead Richie out of Dumas's room.
Mind how you go.
So, Richie, what's your doctorate?
It's xenobiology, as you could say. But it's specifically xenobiology related to the Zamora.
Okay. So, you any good with engineering at all?
Not so much. Machines aren't really, unless they're specifically Zamaron machines, not particularly my bag.
Do you think you would be able to put together a database of everything you know about the Zamarons, particularly in terms of their military strategy and their tactics and their technology, and put that into some sort of technological thing that we could beam to other ships if need be?
I mean, I suppose it's mostly historical data, as it were. So a lot of it's not particular, given that they've changed their tactics recently. It's not necessarily. But I'll tell you what I'll do is, as we continue on our journey, I'll update my database, and that can be something that we can share as and when it is needed.
Sounds good. Oh, also, can you tell me how to work those guns that they have? We found a load and we turned them over to the dwarves to kind of take apart, but we never got anywhere. And if we're going to be fighting here again, I'd like to know how to kind of make use of them.
Oh, the Zamaron weapons, they're sort of genetically encoded to the Zamaron. So unless you're a Zamaron soldier, you can't really fire them.
What if I ripped one of their arms off?
That's a little dramatic for me, but...
All right, one of their hands off.
Well, no, you'd need to have two hands.
All right, two of their hands off.
I suppose if you could make some sort of Zamaron gloves out of their hands.
That's interesting.
It is interesting, but bear in mind, they're more like mandibles than hands.
Well, you can't spell mandible without man, and that's what I am.
Whilst irrelevant, certainly true.
Get in the galley, Richie.
All right, so we're actually sticking with I'm going to the galley.
That or the database, up to you.
I'd rather do the database if we're all the same to you.
Well, there we go. Just don't sass me either way.
I will not. I'll do my best.
Good man, Richie. Good to have you aboard. And I kick him in the backside.
That's unpleasant. Don't do it again.
I kick him again. Welcome to the party, pal. And then I walk over to the pilot's chair.
Okay.
Do we call it that?
I felt like we probably should.
It is 11:30 on a school night.
It is a school night.
The maglocks come off and then we like...
Oh, the maglocks have already been released. Like, you're free to go.
Or do we blast away and then the Firefly music comes on?
Yes, it can if you like.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Does it start off as the Firefly music, but then sort of like effortlessly blends into Kiss from a Rose by Seal?
No, it really awkwardly and fairly clumsily translates into...
There used to be a grey tower alone.
No, it turns into the Next Generation theme tune. You go from the Firefly theme tune to the Next Generation. For some reason, it turns into Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone. And that's where we fade out on Kenny Loggins. Whilst in the background, slowly fading away, two guys playing volleyball topless whilst greased up.
Is this all queued off by...
is it Jim Owen Todd?
It is Jim Owen Todd, both ripped playing volleyball, greased up with bacon grease.
Yeah.
Was it all? Hopefully, this was all queued off by Richie asking for the logins
for the HMS. The computer. I'd like to enter my information, if you will.
So, DANGER _ Z0NE.
The login is Danger Zone.
Danger right. _ Danger _ZONE.
Ah, okay. Got it.
Richie.
You get it?
Richie.
I got it.
Richie.
Yes,
what? Richie!
Yes, Hud.
Danger Zone.